The first reading is from Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 22. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." The second reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 21. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you."
It'd be great if you had that Bible reading open. Maybe you've got a Bible at home, or you've got the service sheet with it on. I wish I could wipe the last few years of my life off the record. I wish I could wipe clean the things that I've said and done this week. I wish I could wipe clean the things that I've said and done this morning. Interesting, it's not just something that seekers or unbelievers might say. We love it that people listen in and look in on what Trinity is doing. But I remember a Christian woman saying exactly the same thing. She trusted and knew Jesus as her saviour. She'd been brought into the kingdom of God. But even her Christian life was dogged by sin and disappointment. And she felt distant from God and his forgiving and cleansing grace. Just imagine what it would have meant for that woman to hear Jesus say, "Your faith has made you well." Literally, your faith has saved you. There are lots of things that trouble us in this life, aren't there? Think of our bodies. There is disease and decay and physical decline. This virus has reminded us of our lack of control and our mortality. We are all equally fragile and weak and mortal. Think of our minds. There are mental and psychological scars that we all carry. There's the loneliness of broken relationships, of things that have gone wrong. There is the exclusion because of things that we have said or done, or because of what others have said and done to us. There's guilt that we carry. How wonderful to hear God's Son say to us, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you." This morning, we look at a wonderful healing miracle of the Lord Jesus. 10 men with leprosy, or it was some skin disease, are cleansed and healed. But only one comes back to receive the even greater gift of salvation from Jesus. He hears those words, "Your faith has made you well, has saved you." So look at verse 11. of chapter 17 of Luke. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us," or "have mercy on us." So leprosy, it's the disease of social isolation and exclusion. Look at verse 12. They stood at a distance. Now, we can identify with that. Now, things are easing slightly now, but not social distancing. But we know the pain, don't we, of being isolated and excluded from friends and family. 2 weeks ago, a grandmother was telling me of the pain of not seeing her new grandchild. An old man I know who has dementia, who I chat to regularly, keeps walking towards me, wanting to stand beside me, and I keep walking back. It's painful. Because we're created, aren't we, for relationship and community and friendship. And we're created surely to be whole in body, in mind, in soul. And leprosy meant social isolation and exclusion. The Old Testament law taught that the person had to be cut off from society, including his family. He had to shout, "Unclean, unclean." Who knows, we might have to do that with this virus in the coming months. It was highly contagious, and he shouted to warn others to keep their distance. And there was great suffering. One writer says this: the ulcers develop a foul discharge, the nerves are affected, the muscles waste away, the tendons contract until the hands are like claws. It is a kind of terrible progressive death in which a person dies by inches. Great suffering in mind, in body, in soul. And these 10 lepers cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Please do something. Jesus, you've been doing great things. Please have mercy." Well, my first point is this, and I've got on the outline. Sorry, I should have said I'll come to general grace and saving grace a little bit later. God's king brings in God's kingdom. Jesus is God's son. And God the Father sends his son into this world as his king. It's as if the Father says, "You're going to be king in the kingdom of God." And Jesus has been doing great things. He's been having mercy. Now we need to remember that the story of the Old Testament is God's promise for people from all nations to know God and his love and blessing, to save people from their sin and rebellion. Our sin and rebellion against God has ruined God's world. We're alienated from God, and God's judgment on our sin has resulted in disease and death and decay and disruption. But you see, God's promise is to save people, to make them whole in body and mind and soul. And God brings that kingdom in through his son. And here is his son bringing in the kingdom. The reason I had Luke 7 read is because of all that it records of what God's king, his Christ, was doing. I'll just read it again. "Some men came and asked Jesus, 'John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" In other words, are you God's king? Are you the Christ? "At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind." So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. So you see, Luke's recorded the evidence that Jesus is God's king, and Jesus is saving people from God's judgment on sin and selfish rebellion. And he's making them whole in body and mind and soul. So you see, God's king is bringing in God's kingdom, and he comes doing that, cleansing and saving. Secondly, cleansing and saving. Look at verse 14 with me. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. So back then, a leper was ritually unclean before God. And if he was healed, he had to go to the priest at the temple. And there would be an extensive ritual of cleansing. And only then could that person be accepted back into the community. Now look what happens as these 10 lepers obey Jesus. As they went, they were cleansed and healed. The story doesn't end there. Look at verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. So 10 lepers cry out in prayer, have mercy on us. But only one comes back to praise. And he throws himself at Jesus' feet full of thanks. And Luke records that he was a Samaritan. And then Luke records three penetrating questions of Jesus. Imagine hearing these. Verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Literally, your faith has saved you. And the sense there is whole in body and soul and mind. You're right with God. Your body is restored. See, God's king brings in God's kingdom by cleansing and saving. In the Bible, leprosy is a disease that is a picture of sin. And the one who returns is saved. Your faith has made you well, has saved you, Jesus says. So there's a physical healing, but it's a picture of salvation and cleansing from sin. It's quite a shock, isn't it, that in sin, every single one of us is a spiritually sick leper. Every single one of us is spiritually unclean. And we're caked with years of filthy sins. Perhaps we've just got used to the filth and the grime. Some of us wear t-shirts like that for weeks and weeks. But every day our minds, our lives can be filled with pride, and lust, and jealousy, and greed, and anger, and hatred, ingratitude, snobbishness, arrogance, superiority, harsh words, gossip, twisting the truth to our own advantage, taking the Lord's name in vain. Think about what our eyes watch the programs, the sights. Unclean before God, unclean before others, distant from God, distant from others. See, sin causes breakdown of relationships. We're isolated from God, cut off from God, cut off from others. Sin results in loneliness, doesn't it? The wife whose husband is cruel and abusive. And sin is serious. It results in spiritual death and eternal death, separated from God for all eternity. You see, we all need to be cleansed and saved. And that's what God's King has come to do. Who? Who will Jesus cleanse and save to be a member of God's kingdom? Well, that's my third point. People from all nations, whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you are. It's glorious, isn't it? One of the great things about Luke is he teaches his readers and his listeners through geography. Look at verse 11. He loves geography. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, the Samaritans were hated. Their roots were in Israel, but Samaria was another nation. They had different beliefs. And the Samaritan was regarded as a religious outcast, a social outcast. This one was a leper, so it was a double whammy on all kinds of levels. Verse 16 tells us that this leper who came back, who thanked Jesus at his feet, look what Luke says, and he was a Samaritan. He says, as if Luke wants to say, you sit up and take notice of this. Here was a Samaritan, hated, despised, alienated, excluded, and he thanks Jesus. Came from the wrong part of town, wrong school, wrong job, wrong nation. Doesn't matter. He's come to Jesus to thank him for cleansing and salvation. And look what Jesus says. Verse 18, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? You see, this foreigner is saved by God's King. The kingdom of God is not just for Israel. Indeed, as we've been seeing in previous week, many religious people were not recognizing Jesus. They were sneering at Jesus. They were justifying themselves. But this Jesus comes, full of mercy and grace, to cleanse and to save. From all nations. It's glorious, isn't it? How can Jesus cleanse and save people? Well, Luke gives us a clue. He's in his geography. Verse 11, look again. Now, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It's Luke's shorthand for saying that Jesus must suffer and die on the cross and then be raised to life. And he must suffer and die on the cross because that is the place he will take our sin upon himself, the judgment that we deserve, so that we can be cleansed and forgiven and saved. So, some applications to think about. Trust Jesus and his work and his word. Trust Jesus and his work and his word. Notice that these lepers are cleansed as they go. They're cleansed and healed as they go. Jesus heals them at a distance. It's interesting, isn't it, that we don't see Jesus now. This last Thursday was Ascension Day. The risen Jesus, raised to life, ascended back into heaven. He ascended and now reigns as Lord. He's alive. He reigns in heaven. His kingdom has started, but we don't see him now. We have to trust his work in dying on the cross and his word. What, think about what great words they were to hear. They were to hear and to go with that leper, that Samaritan leper. Your faith has saved you. Just think of your sin this week, this last week, that ugly list that I gave earlier. See, because of the death of Jesus, we can be offered mercy, and God delights in showing mercy, but the only place we can be guaranteed mercy, not getting what we deserve, is in the death of Jesus, because he's taken it for us. He's taken the judgment that we deserve. And because of his death, we can be cleansed and saved. We can be, so to speak, washed clean in a clean, bright, white t-shirt. And what reassurance comes through his word? Your faith has saved you. Trusting Jesus because of who he is and what he's done can mean that we're cleansed and saved. And we're to do that humbly. He's the master. He's God's king. It's interesting. This one leper falls down in front of Jesus to thank him. Let me just ask you, when was the last time you humbled yourself before the Lord Jesus? That you really thanked him for cleansing and for saving? I just want to say, it's very easy to be chummy, isn't it, with Jesus? My friend who's with me and for me. But he is the king who saves. When was the last time we really humbled ourselves in thanks for Jesus before him? It's interesting, isn't it? We owe everything to Jesus for cleansing and salvation. The leper couldn't say, well, you know, Jesus did his part and I did my part. You see, Jesus done it all by dying on the cross for our sins. Have we humbled ourselves before Jesus, trusting him and his word and work? And we're to do that thankfully. It's obviously linked. This leper comes back praising God and thanking Jesus. Interesting, isn't it, that his witness is public and he does it in a loud voice. It's interesting, isn't it? So many people find that actually when they've become a Christian, when they've really grasped who Jesus is and what he's done in dying on the cross for our sins and being raised to life and now reigning in heaven, actually, we can't keep quiet about it. We want to thank Jesus publicly. Let me say, and I come back to this, my little quotes at the start about common grace and saving grace. It's possible, isn't it, to receive many good gifts from God. It's striking, isn't it, how much God has given us in this country, but actually how little we've thanked God. There is so much of God's general or common grace to give God thanks for. And I just put on the sheet a definition of that, that though every human being is sinful and deserving of God's wrath, God mercifully postpones his judgment and graciously blesses all people, even apart from salvation, and sustains all things. Common grace includes all undeserved blessings that natural man receives from the hand of God: rain and sun and prosperity and life and breath and health and happiness, natural abilities and gifts, sin being restrained from complete dominion, and so on. Striking, isn't it, how much thankfulness there is going on in our nation to God for his general grace. Is there? But you see, saving grace is even more remarkable. It is possible, isn't it, to be healed, even of the coronavirus, but to miss the greatest blessing. We Christians can become perhaps complacent about saving grace. Here is the really big thing to thank God for, that King Jesus cleanses and saves sinners. And then we do that humbly. We trust Jesus and his word and work. Sorry, hopefully. What happened to the next day to this leper? Just have a look at verse 20. His faith in Jesus has saved him. Look what verse 20 says. The next day, the Samaritan who was cleansed of leprosy got cancer and died. No, we're not told that. But he did eventually die, didn't he? It's interesting, isn't it? Even with the salvation that Jesus offers, we're still weak and fragile and mortal. Look what verse 20 is actually about, and we'll look at this next week. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you, actually better, is amongst you." Is amongst you. You see, God's king has come a first time. He's right there in their midst. And he dies for sinners to cleanse them and to save them. There's a very real sense in which the kingdom has come. And we can know that we are saved. But we're not entirely saved from the presence of sin and disease and death and decay. But Jesus will go on to say that one day he will return and he will bring in his kingdom fully and finally. So we now trust Jesus and his work and his word in hope. The risen Jesus has ascended, and one day he will return and he'll bring in his kingdom fully and finally, when disease and decay and disaster will be done away with and will be in the presence of our King, and will be whole in body and mind and soul. But we can be saved now. What a great thing to humbly thank Jesus for.